Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 26 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. We have a lot to cover. We haven't had a show in 2 weeks now, and we're catching up with some stuff. We have a great interview with Paul Miles, who is a blogger and a TTM collector, and has a lot to talk about in terms of collecting in TTM, so hopefully you enjoy our interview with Paul. Once again, my name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. Kind of a couple of exciting things going on. We are now available on TuneIn, which means you can listen to all our TTM Cast podcasts on Alexa devices. All you have to do is say, Alexa, play TTM podcast, and Alexa does all the work. So hopefully you can now get our podcasts on your Alexa device and make it easier for you to listen and hopefully enjoy our show. We are on all sorts of places where podcasts are listed. We are on Spotify. We are on Podbean. We're on Google Listen. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. And now we are on TuneIn. So hopefully we got all our bases covered and making it easy for you to find us and listen to us and enjoy the show. If you have any questions or any feedback or any suggestions for future guests, please email me at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, the email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. If you want to find out any of my recent TTM returns and successes, I list those on my Instagram site at TTMcast, and I'm also on Twitter at CastTTM, and I post on Facebook in a couple autograph groups, so hopefully you get to see some pictures of some of the cards we talk about today. And now on to our first segment, which is our Baker's Dozen segment, which is kind of a brain dump of what's going on for the last couple weeks in terms of collecting in TTM world. One thing, I will have we're recording this show early on a Friday night tonight because it is September 20th. I am heading off to Chicago tomorrow for 4 days on a business trip and my other real job life that pays the bills. I'm actually going to see the Cubs and Cardinals tomorrow afternoon. Excited about that. I've been to Wrigley just one time, but it was a long time ago, so I'm looking forward to going to Wrigley. Our next episode will be on October 6th, thereabout. We have a couple fun interviews lined up, so I'm really excited. We have a couple guests lined up for the next couple weeks, so I'm very happy about that. I'm also pleased to say that I have a new article on Sports Collectors Daily. It is about Tom Brady and the 12 cards that won't bust your budget. So it kind of lists 12 of my kind of favorite low budget cards, including a couple of his rookie cards. I suggest you go over to Sports Collectors Daily, sportscollectorsdaily.com, and check out my article on Tom Brady, 12 cards that won't bust your budget. There's a cool article in Sports Collectors Digest by Greg Bates. He does an article on Pawn Stars and some of the sports stuff that they get in their shop and in the show. So it's really a cool article. I also want to congratulate Dave Strage, who is the new editor of Sports Collectors Digest. He started a couple weeks ago, and we're hoping to get Dave on the program in a couple weeks once he gets settled. But congratulations, Dave, for becoming the new Sports Collectors Digest editor, taking over for Bert. So congratulations, Dave. Also, there was a back to Sports Collectors Daily, and our friend Rich Mueller, who's the editor, had a fantastic article on the 1967 Topps football cards. He always does articles on vintage pack facts and talks about how the cards were packaged, how they are available in cello packs, and how they were the special inserts, and gives a whole nice feature on a different year basically every week. And this year this week he did a great feature on 1960 Topps football cards. So a nice vintage article by Rich Mueller. And a couple other things in terms of TTM. We're thinking this is the end for Brett Favre signing. I got my second return dreaded postcard with my cards not signed but returned today. That one was sent to his address, not to his foundation. That was people were getting success, and I got just the postcard, not with no autograph to it. And I've seen people the last couple of days posting the same thing. Actually, I saw somebody posting that Favre is now asking $100 per autograph. So the Brett Favre gravy train is over, and unfortunately, I did not catch a ride on that one. But thanks to my friend TTM Dustin, we made a trade, and I did get a Brett Favre autograph card for my collection. So thank you, Dustin. And speaking of Dustin, Dustin is trying to get to 1,000 followers on Instagram, TTM Dustin on Instagram, and he's got a contest going on. So check out TTM Dustin on Instagram, and if you know, it's a couple hoops you have to jump through, and then you're going to be entered to win all sorts of autograph cards that Dustin's going to be giving away when he reaches 1,000 followers. I think he's at 800 or just about 800, so he's getting there. He's done a great job since I met him probably about a year and a half ago now, and Dustin is a great TTMer, always active in the community, so please support Dustin in his efforts, and check him out, because he always has great posts. And now to talk the fun part of the podcast, the returns that I received in the last couple weeks. It's been kind of a mixed bag, but always happy to get returns. I got a bunch still out there, so let's run down some football and baseball guys that I got back. I got John Cappelletti, former Heisman Trophy winner for Penn State. I got a 1977 Topps card from Mr. Cappelletti, and I returned in less than 10 days. Always happy to get a Heisman winner in my mailbox, and thank you, Mr. Cappelletti. Got a couple of returns from Lorenzo Hampton, who was a running back for the Miami Dolphins back in the 80s and 90s. I got a 1988 Topps and a 1989 Topps, both autographed nicely in black Sharpie with his number added, and those were returned in probably about 2 weeks. I just received today a Zeke Moat 1985 Topps card. Zeke signed his name in blue Sharpie with his number 84 on it. Great card. Got that back in less than, I don't know, probably a week. This is a good one because I've been trying to get him for the last 2 years. I got Coach Mike Ditka from the Chicago Bears in a 1987 Pro Set card. Card number 108. And he signed it in nice blue Sharpie right across the front. And was very pleased to get that. That took about a month, but well worth the wait. Now on to baseball. I'm collecting the 1978 Topps set, so I've been sending out some cards. And one of the returns I got that was not signed, I got from Andy Messersmith. This is showing him in a Braves uniform. I believe this was his last year, 1978 Topps. He sent me back, he signed my letter and said, sorry, I don't sign any longer. Signed to Andy. Unfortunately, he didn't sign Andy Messersmith. And he did not sign my card. So I saw that he had signed something. Somebody's card on one of the sites, and so I tried it the second time. I tried him because I was a big Dodger fan back in the day, and I tried Andy Messersmith, but to no luck, no autograph there. I got a 1978 Wilbur Howard, who was an outfielder for the Houston Astros, and I also got 1979 Wilbur Howard for the Astros. He actually threw that one in as extra because I didn't send him that one. But I literally just turned the card over and noticed that was in there. So Wilbur Howard from the Houston Astros, 78 and 79, returned in less than 2 weeks. And I got this one back yesterday. Chuck Chuck Shrivener, and honestly, I don't remember Chuck Shrivener all that well. I knew he played for the Tigers, and I actually had to look up Mr. Scrivener, you know, was getting it for my 1978 set, and I'm very happy, and I always love to get these guys. And Chuck had a career batting average of 190, and he hit two home runs in his major league career, which ranged from 1975 to 1977. He never actually played in 1978, but he did have a card, and he signed it for me in less than 2 weeks. Very pleased to receive that, knocking another one off my 1978 set. And finally, I got a couple of cards signed by Glenn Hoffman, who played shortstop for the Red Sox back in the 80s, and I got Glenn Hoffman on a 1982 Flair and a 1981 Topps Coke card. So that makes the second Topps Coke card that I, Red Sox top Coca-Cola card that I got autographed. I got Frank Tanana a couple weeks ago, and I might actually try to collect the whole set of the autographed Coke cards, because I love Coca-Cola memorabilia, and it's cool to combine Coca-Cola memorabilia and baseball cards and TTM and an autograph. So very pleased that I got Glenn Hoffman back in a couple weeks. As I said, I have a lot of cards out there. Lastly, I also got another return. I think I mentioned this earlier in the intro, but I got a return today from Brett Favre, and he sent the postcard and did not sign my card, but he did return my cards, which I'm very happy about that, because I had sent him a Pro Set rookie card of the Falcons, so I'm glad I got that back, because I did not have a double of that card, but I took a shot and sent it out to see if he would sign it, and unfortunately, I missed the Brett Favre train on that one. So that wraps up returns for the last 2 weeks. As I said, I've got a lot out, so I'm hoping in the next week or two we get some back. I've been getting one or two back every day, which is kind of nice. We don't have to get five back every day. It's nice to just have one or two open, and I always post them on Instagram if you want to check out my cards, or they're on my website, which is www.ttmcast.com, or on Instagram at TTMcast. So that wraps up returns for the last couple weeks. And now for our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who I had sent out a TTM request to him, not realizing he had passed away. And I was kind of embarrassed by that. So as a service to you, my fellow TTMers, I always kind of list the people that passed away in the last couple weeks, so you're not caught sending out a TTM request to these people. So let's start in the celebrity world. We lost a lot of people in the last week and last 2 weeks in the celebrity world as well as in the sports world. So running down the celebrity world, we lost Valerie Harper from Rhoda and Mary Tyler Moore Show. I know she was sick, having sick recently, but she passed away this past week. Cokie Roberts, who's a political reporter on ABC, always followed her since I was a kid. I was a journalism major at school and always enjoyed her commentary, even though she wasn't usually on my side politically, but she was a great reporter. We lost Rick Ocasek from the Cars, lead singer for the Cars, one of the great bands from the 80s. Brian Turk, who went from being a football player at USC to an actor. He was on Carnival and on 90210. And he was on Saved by the Bell, College Years, and was kind of a big character actor back in the 90s, passed away. Singer Eddie Money, who was had a lot of hits in the 80s, including like Shaken, and was from New York, I believe. He passed away recently. And Carol Lionel. I'm sorry, I butchered her name. Caroline Erler, who was on the Poseidon Adventure. She played the young girls on the Poseidon Adventure, and she passed away. So, sorry for the loss. I apologize to Carol's family for messing up her name a little. But now back into the world of sports, we had a few people that passed away, and a couple people that I remember very well playing. Alex Gramis, who was a Reds coach for the Big Red Machine and the Brewers, and also played for the Cardinals and Reds and the Cubs in the 50s and early 60s. He had cards, Topps cards, from 1954 to 1963. He passed away recently. Joe Keough, who was an outfielder for the Kansas City Royals in the late 60s and early 70s, from 1969 to 1972, he had Topps cards. He passed away. Tom Phoebus, who was a pitcher for the Orioles and Padres from 1968 to 1972, passed away. Tom Waddle, who was a pitcher in the 90s, I believe, passed away. Jim Archer, who pitched for the Kansas City A's from 1961 and 62, he had cards both those years, recently passed away. Chris Duncan, who was the son of Dave Duncan, who played for the Cardinals for a couple of years back in the 90s. He was very young. He had cancer. He is no longer with us. Sorry for that loss. Sam Davis, who was a guard on four Super Bowl Pittsburgh Steelers teams in the 70s, passed away. He has a 1975 rookie card, and he passed away. And then one person that I've become familiar with, not personally, but just from collecting, is Larry Garen, who was an original member of the original New England Patriots, played for the Patriots from 1960 to 1968. I think his first card was 65 or 66, and he had a bunch of cards in the 60s and I think to 69 as well. So we lost an original Patriot, an AFLer, in Larry Garon. So that wraps up the people that passed away in the last couple weeks. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of people, a lot of good people, you know, from my sympathy and thoughts and prayers go out to their families, and sorry for their loss. Just please note that please don't send autograph requests out to these people, because they are no longer with us. And for our final segment, we have an interesting interview with Mr. Paul Miles. Paul is a blogger and a TTM collector. His blog is Ashburn and Yawkey on blogspot.com. And you can listen to our interview. We talk about collecting, TTMing, going to stadiums, all sorts of things that Paul is into. And Paul, I'm very jealous with Paul, because Paul has a great radio voice. He does play-by-play and has a fantastic radio voice, and I'm envious of his voice. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline is collector extraordinaire, and I say that with all due respect, because this gentleman is a collector of all things and is very passionate about what he does. He writes a great blog. His name is Paul Miles, and he's joining us from Southeast Massachusetts. Paul and I have never met before, but I'm really interested and excited to speak with you. So welcome to the program, Paul.
Wow, I've never been called an extraordinaire anything. Thank you for having me on the show, and gonna have to put that intro on my CV, man. Thank you.
There you go. You're welcome. Well, as I said, Paul runs a unique and interesting blog that covers a lot of different collecting and different things that he's passionate about. It's called Ashburn and Yawkey .blogspot.com. It is that's the best way to find it, ashburnandyawkey.blogspot.com. And you can tell by the title that Paul is both a Phillies fan, and I think because he's Massachusetts, we get Yawkey in there somehow. So he might even have like some New England teams. Now
I'm never going to admit it publicly, Jeff.
As a transplant, and he's from Philadelphia, but he came to the right side, the dark side, if you will, and is living amongst us. So how's that going for you?
I walk amongst you. Yeah. It's going great. I actually moved up here 2.5 years ago, and a friend of mine got me a couple job interviews and actually got me an interview to do some track announcing at one of the local short track, one of NASCAR sanctioned short tracks.
Nice.
So I came up here kind of for sports. And being a baseball fan, you know, you read about the Cape Cod League, you read about the history, obviously, of Fenway, and there's a lot of baseball and a lot of hockey going on up here. And you know, people kind of laugh at me, but sports definitely played a part in why I moved up here when I decided to leave Philly. So it's great. I love it up here.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'm glad we haven't been too mean to you with the Philadelphia connection. But
I grew up in the 700 level of the Vets. I mean, whatever you guys are going to give, I can give it right back.
Fair enough. So as I said in the intro, Paul is a collector of everything. Do you have something that you're really focused in on? Because I know you do TTMs and fan packs, and you're into all sorts of unique things.
You know, there are a lot of things that I want to go heavy into, but, you know, I guess I have collecting ADD. You know, I can't really focus on any one thing too much. And also, you know, I'm a collector from the 80s, so I'm kind of a set completist, and all these chase cards I still really can't get into. So I think the one thing that I've really been able to kind of focus on has been the Phillies custom card TTM Frankenset that I've been putting together, I guess, since March. And that's like the one kind of consistent thing that I've been into since I got back into collecting.
Yeah, I was going to mention, you know, just looking at your site, you have a ton of custom cards, that'll take a long time to produce those and to send them out, no?
It really doesn't. You know, I've kind of been chopping up in Photoshop for a long time, so I have kind of the bag of tricks that I'm really good at. So it might take a while to put together a template, but once I have a template together, it's really not that hard to churn out a bunch of cards. Like the 85 WBC set, there are a ton of cards, but you know, once I didn't even make that template. Once I found the template and was able to put the colors together for the different teams, it really didn't take that long to knock out a ton of cards.
Now, how many TTM requests are you sending out on a weekly basis, would you say?
Not many. I've only been doing Phillies, and I've only been doing the customs for TTMs, and I'll send out 10 or 15 here and there, and, you know, might not send any out for a while just because, you know, I try to do it on weekends. My weekends get tied up. So I don't send out a ton of requests, but the ones I do are typically just for the custom set.
Now, you lean towards Phillies, obviously, and I know your favorite team is the Philadelphia AAA team, which is the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Red Barons, right?
I just fell into a ton of Red Baron sets. You know, I grew up as a Phillies fan, and we had the Camden River Sharks right across the bridge in the Atlantic League for a long time, and I really loved going to their games. And I just I kind of gravitate more towards minor league sports, so I'm kind of more – you know, if I see something cool minor league, whether it's an old Red Baron set or, you know, anything Atlantic League or something like that, I'll try to, if I got a couple shekels in my pocket, I try to pick it up.
But you kind of hit home with me on a couple things I noticed on your blog. I saw that you have a main guide set, and that I back in the 80s, I went to a bunch of main guides games. So I remember them very fondly. Actually, I have a main guides program signed by a ton of guys that I'd have to go dig out and see who actually is on that. But that was always a fun time. And then you go, I made a visit to the Fisher Cats in Manchester, which I go to 5 or 6 times a year. And
that's a fantastic stadium up there.
Isn't it fun? It's not great for autographs, I don't think. After the game, that sometimes you get the players coming out. But all in all, it's a fun stadium to go to.
Yeah, no, it's really nice up there. Before I moved up here, I was going to a lot of River Sharks games before they moved up to New Britain, and then obviously down to Wilmington a lot. And, you know, getting to see guys like Hosmer and Mike Moustakas come up was a lot of fun. Because, you know, I'm not rich. I gotta go to the games I can afford. You know, I'm not Marlins fan guy. I can't spend thousands of dollars to go to buy a home plate at every game. So, But yeah, I honestly though, I really did love going to the River Sharks game. I mean, that was probably my favorite stadium in the world before they knocked it down.
That's funny. Well, last year for the Fisher Cats was fantastic because we had Vladdy and Biggio and Bichette, and it was a great team to watch.
Yeah, that was a good team.
It was a fun time.
Yeah.
Now, how did you what inspired you to come up with the Ashburn and Yawkey for your blog?
Nothing else kind of felt cool, and you know, being a Phillies fan, you know, obviously Ashburn Alley down at Citizens Bank is a nexus for Phillies fans and baseball historians, and it's kind of where we go when we kind of want to take a walk down memory lane and remember guys like, you know, Mike Schmidt and Steve Carlton and all, you know, all those guys that we grew up with. And then, you know, I know Yawkey kind of has the same, or before they renamed the street, it kind of had the same vibe for Red Sox fans where it was kind of like the spot you went to before you went into the ballpark for the game. It was kind of the meeting point. So, you know, having Yawkey Way up here and Ashburn Alley down there and kind of being a Phillies fan, but living in Red Sox Nation, kind of that crossroads of my personal fandom and kind of where I'm living just kind of felt right poetically, I guess. And it kind of lends to a pretty cool logo with a street sign. So it just kind of worked out.
Now, do you do in-person autographs when you go to the parks, different parks? Because I know your one of your goals is to hit all these and visit all these parks. So do you do all these autographs when you go?
I don't know. I don't know. I just kind of, when I go to a ball game, I just kind of want to go to the game and get a soda and a hot dog and sit down and enjoy the game. It almost doesn't matter to me what teams or even what players are playing. I just love sitting in a ballpark or at a hiker rink watching a game. I just never kind of feel like lugging balls and pens and cards around to go chase an autograph. I just kind of go and sit and relax and enjoy baseball.
Okay.
I follow a lot of guys that do chase in-person autographs on Instagram, and you know, just being able to recognize minor leaguers by face is impressive to me. So I love following some of those guys just for the work they put in. But,
so now, I know you on your blog you have a stadium visits list list of places that you've been. Do you have a top three or four places that you'd like to go in the next couple of years?
I want to go to Fenway for a game. I did the stadium tour 3 years ago now before I moved up here, and it might have been like minus 40,000 degrees with a wind chill of minus the moon. So I didn't get the full experience, but I loved walking around the stadium. I tell my friends it kind of feels like 1970s American League baseball. I had to expect to see Wade Box punching out Alan Trammell when I walked down the halls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like old school American League baseball. So I definitely want to go see an AL, a league game there, not an interleague game. The last hockey rink I have in New England, or the last two pro hockey rinks I need to get to up here, are Manchester and Danbury, if you count the Federal League as pro, which I kind of don't. Those are the last three buildings I really need to get to, but I think kind of the goal is to knock out the complete Cape Cod League, just experience a game at each one of the Cape League fields. And
have you been to any of them?
Yeah, I've been to. I went to Hyannis last year before they put in the new scoreboard and the new dugouts, and I think they put in new bleachers. I did Bourne, and then we did Wareham. Make up pronunciations up here just to mess with me. Yeah, and then we did the Wareham Gateman this year in just an absolute monsoon, and rain and wood bleachers was not a fun time. But
yeah, I went. My parents had a couple houses in Dennis. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, so we used to go all the time to Cape Cod League game. It's always fun. I have some old programs I should pull out to see. Actually, I got to see play. You know, they gave you the sheet with all the guys' names and you forget who you saw play when they were kids.
It's such a great experience, though. I mean, if you think about it, like, such an insane percentage of these guys that play on the Cape are going to end up playing in the majors, and you just walk up, you drop a buck in a bucket, and then you drag your lawn chair up and you're watching. You know, I saw Jeff Conine's kid last season, Dusty Baker's kids playing in the league, or played in the league this year, and it's high quality baseball, and it's just such a great community feel. It's like what baseball was 150 years ago before everybody started getting paid for it. It's awesome. Yep.
I actually lived in Phoenix for a couple of years, so I got to do the Arizona Fall League, which is just about the same. But you're seeing real, you know, prospects. These kids are double-A prospects ready to come up, and it was fun. I remember seeing, you know, just Eric Burns and guys like that that were just that you could sit next to the dugout and talk to them. And it was and I had a little kid at the time, and he always got a foul ball, and it was a fun time because there was no one there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, who cares? Let's just go and watch baseball. It's like, you know, I remember a couple weeks ago when like, the Florida State and the instructional leagues were canceling their playoffs. It was like, oh, why don't they move it? It's like, who cares? It's just baseball. Like, it doesn't matter who wins. Just watch the games when they play. And if they got to cancel because there's a hurricane coming through, who cares?
Right.
You know?
Well, you know what? The other thing that I saw on your site that I loved was your TTM Hall of Fame. And it's a very eclectic list.
Yeah.
Phillies and some celebrities.
Yeah. The thinking behind that is, like, you know, I see in some of the return groups, like on Facebook and stuff, they're like, oh, man, you know, I'm disappointed that 92-year-old Pablo Sorta signed his card sideways and upside down. And, you know, this team, the Arizona Diamondbacks sent me a bunch of stuff for little kids in the return. It's like, you know, this hobby is kind of unique. It's very solitary. Like, we don't all get together and fill envelopes with cards and send them out as a group. It's not like we go to the card store and like, oh, who are you sending out to? Oh, it's not like a group activity, but it kind of is, because when, you know, you send a card to Bobby Shantz, who's, you know, deep into his 80s or maybe even early 90s now, you know, I think a lot of people forget that, like, the envelope shows up. You know, Bobby Shantz has to open it, read it, sign the card, put it back in an envelope, take it to the post office or drop it off in a mailbox. Like, you know, a lot of guys, I think, forget that there's a lot of time and effort that's put in on the other side of this hobby, you know, on the player and celebrity side of this hobby. So the TTM Hall of Fame page or whatever, it's just to, like, recognize that, you know, there are guys like, you know, Arruzioni up here at Boston College. Like, you know, you send him an email, he'll send you an autographed picture that week, and it's like, they're active participants in this hobby too. So it's to thank the guys that are really active in that side of our hobby, because if they're not active in their side of the hobby, we don't have a hobby. We're just sending mail off into the ether and it never comes back to us. So if we appreciate the guys that do return stuff quickly and thank, you know, Pat Neshek and Bobby Shantz and these guys are just TTM all-stars, it might kind of change the mentality from, oh, I got a crappy return from this guy, or this team sends a whack fan pack or whatever, to, oh, holy cow, Michael Rizzioni is just sending out autographs from his office at Boston College. You know, it's kind of trying to be more positive about the hobby than these guys are like, oh, that autograph looks bad. You know, come on, just appreciate that they're putting time into. So that's kind of what that page is about.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the reasons, you know, I started this podcast because I love talking about TTMs and passionate about it. And I started, you know, talk to my family and their eyes glass over. So they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've been able to do is I've been able to talk to some of these guys. I talked to Jim Cott and Johnny Busick and Ernie DiGregorio and Randy Vataha. And just that, you know, asking them how many requests do they get, and, you know, what are their feelings about seeing their cards on eBay that they just signed, or, you know, how much time do they put in, and you know, the you know, a guy like Jim Cott, request a donation, but that donation isn't going in his pocket. He's using it for Little League.
Yeah. And I didn't even know Jimmy. I didn't even know Jimmy Cott wanted a donation. I just sent him. I usually send out two copies of the custom that I make, and I just sent them out. Hey, you know, would you mind signing this? You know, I appreciate your time and effort. Would you mind signing? And he signed mine and sent them back. And I, you know, I didn't even know he asked for a donation.
Yeah. Well, not, you know, he even said when, you know, he asked, the donation goes to, he's not going to preclude somebody from getting an autograph, but he appreciates any money that gets sent back. And literally, I sent him $10 because I don't usually send donations, but I knew that he was donating it to the Little League field. So I sent him a donation. He sent me a nice little note. This was before we had the podcast. And I sent him an email, a letter, maybe a month later, asked him if he wanted to do the podcast, and he was gracious enough to come on. But, you know, some guys are doing it for money. Some guys just do it, you know, because it does take a lot of time, and, some guys need the money. You know, they weren't making millions of dollars when they were playing, and I appreciate that. If a guy asks for a donation and that's what he wants to do, that's his prerogative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm sure you've seen it too. The guys are, especially like, I think Burt Blylevin came out with a price list that was, I think a little high for some people's taste. And it's like, you know what? Maybe that's just him saying, I don't feel like dealing with this anymore. So when I see somebody asks for a donation, I usually shy away from it because I figure that's somebody that just isn't real interested in dealing with my nonsense. So, you know,
and when we get right down to it, that's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah.
We're passionate about it. We all love to do it, but it's nonsense.
Yeah, it's the first couple of requests I sent out, I felt weird about it because it's like, here, you deal with my hobby and like take time out of your day to send me my stuff back. And it's a really weird hobby when you sit back and look at it kind of outside of being part of an autographing and car collecting hobby. When you look at it kind of just at face value, it's like we're sending streamers mailing it's just kind of weird to think about outside of I'm trying to get my 87 Topps card set autographed complete. You know, it's just a weird thing to think about. So I just kind of, you know, I appreciate the people that participate, and the people who don't, you know, that's fine. They're retired. They don't have to put up with their nonsense if they don't want to, and just keep moving, you know.
Now, who was on your wish list for the rest of the year? Do you have a top four or five that you're hoping to get?
Let's see. Oh man, that's a really good question. Probably just the cards that I have designed that I haven't sent out yet. I think I've got a Manny Trio that's been out for a while that I'm hoping to get back.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, which is weird because I sent it out to him a while ago, and I don't know whether mine got lost in the mail or whether I just beefed it and forgot to put it in the mail, but I've been sitting on him for a while. I'd love to get John Kruk for some reason. I think I just love John. I love the 93 Phillies, and Kruk kind of is the poster boy for that crew anymore.
Yeah, I got him about maybe 4 or 5 months ago, so he does get mine.
Okay. And, you know, I know Mike Schmidt's secretarial, but if that's how he's representing his autograph, I might just send in and get his secretary's Mike Schmidt autograph because he was my guy. You know, I'm 41, so I grew up right in the middle of the, you know, I kind of caught the tail end of the 83 team, but it was like the Mike Schmidt and Bob Boone and then also the Von Hayes and the Bruce Ruffin and the Greg Jelks and all that trash they throw in the field for so many years. But like Mike Schmidt was always my guy growing up. So if I'm putting together my all-time Phillies set, I kind of have to have him in there somewhere.
I went down when I graduated high school in the 1983. So the fall of 83, my dad and I and my college friend and one of my dad's friends drove down to Philly, and we went to the World Series. So I went to, I don't remember which game I went to, but we went to one of the Phillies World Series games at the Vet.
I'm just going to make an assumption and say I'm sorry for whatever was said or thrown.
No, I went there just because I wanted to go to the World Series. Yeah. But I actually bought a program, and I had a lot of people autograph it. I got Juan Marshall and Reggie Jackson, a bunch of guys, Vaughn Hayes. I got a bunch of guys as they were coming in and out. We were there really early. But
you know, I think I wrote about it when I got the Vaughn Hayes return, but I feel so bad for him because that guy never had a chance in Philly. He had a decent career, but the trade the Phillies made for him, we just got absolutely fleeced on, and we knew it immediately, and he just never had a chance to do anything in this town.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, though. He does fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was great. He turned around really quickly. I think he was under 2 weeks for me, and that was going out to Iowa and back. So, you know, he was no problem. And I think he coached a little bit in independent ball. So he kept going after his career ended. But I just have always kind of felt bad because he was kind of the poster boy for the really bad Phillies in the 80s. Like him and Bruce Ruffin were always kind of the touch points for how bad the Phillies got. And like he had a decent career. He just wasn't Julio Franco good.
Yep. Well, we're speaking with Paul Miles. Paul is a collector extraordinaire. He runs a really interesting and fun blog. I suggest you go check it out. It's ashburnandyaki.blogspot.com. It's ashburnandyaki.blogspot.com. It's really fun. There's all sorts of stuff. He has a TTM Hall of Fame. He has a list of all the stadiums he goes to. He has all sorts of TTM stuff. He collects fan packs. He is a Phillies AAA, which is the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Red Barons fan. He is a Providence Bruins fan, which is dear to my heart. He is a big sports collector all around, and you can tell by his voice. He has a much better voice for radio and podcasts than me. I'm jealous. Well,
that's yours doing play-by-play, bud. That's yours of talking into microphones.
So I'm still relatively new. I started the podcast in January. So this is going to be episode 26 or 27, right around there. Try to go every other week, but I'm getting there. I'm still not 100% comfortable behind the microphone, but I'm getting there.
Listen, just doing it is half the fight. Just having the balls to talk into a microphone is half the battle for most people. So you're way ahead of the curve on everybody.
Yeah, it's fun. I love talking PTM and collecting. It's my passion. I love meeting people and making new friends. So.
Nobody else is doing it. I mean, somebody's got to talk about it because, like, you know, we were talking earlier, it's such an insular hobby that, like, unless somebody's out there talking about it, like, there's going to be no kind of meeting place for everybody. So it's great that you're doing it. It's a great way for everybody to kind of – it's a great way for people to connect with other people who are into what we do and get new ideas and or find out that what they're doing is completely wrong and adjust course.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when you started. I actually started back in the 80s when I was in high school. I had a teacher that was into collecting, and he got me into it. I started writing back then, and I did it for about a year and a half, and then I discovered girls and stopped collecting like everyone else. And then I was looking around, about 2 years ago now, and I said, I got all these cards. What am I going to do with them?
Yeah.
I said, I know. I'll send out a couple to the Patriots just so they can get autographs, and that kind of got the bug. And then once the mail came, I was like, geez, look, I get an autograph card, and I don't know who it is, and I got hooked.
Similar story. I remember when I was a kid, I wrote to all the International League teams out of the back of a Beckett magazine, and I don't know why, but I just really distinctly remember getting a letter back from the Buffalo Bison that included a logo sticker, and I don't know why I remember it 30 years later, but I just remember that. And then, you know, same as you, you know, I discovered punk rock music and pretty girls, and I fell out of the hobby. And then when I moved up here and started to put down roots again, I was like, Pat Neshek is awesome. Let me get his autograph. You know.
Yeah, I think we all get to him eventually.
I think he's the pot of the hobby. He's the gateway drug to a lot of TTM collectors. Because he looks like what I think I would look like if I was a Major League Baseball pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, oh, I'd be, you know, whoever, I'd be, you know, A-Rod or, you know, Mike Trout. No, you wouldn't. You'd be Pat Neshek with his goofy 1920s delivery, just slinging it out there, happy to be there and collect an autograph. Yeah. You know, he's what y'all would be.
Yeah, I'd like to get him on the podcast someday. I think he'd be a fun interview.
Yeah, I would love to hear an interview with him because I followed him a little bit on Instagram and when he had his website up, but I haven't seen too many interviews with him. So it'd be really interesting to get his perspective on the hobby for sure.
All right. Well, is there anything else we didn't speak about? Anything we didn't cover? Anything you want to mention? You want to mention your? I know you're on Facebook and you're on Instagram.
The Instagram is at RevDonkBonkers, which is the Practical Joker's inside joke. So anybody that watches that show gets it. I'm kind of shying away from Facebook and just use it for friends and family because with everything that's going on culturally, my blood boils pretty quickly. if people are interested on the site the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a series called Not the NFL and just kind of looking back on some football teams that either were really good or had cool branding that never played in the NFL, the Philadelphia Stars, the Southern California Sun. I just put out the Mighty Locomotives of Las Vegas from the UFL. So I'm just kind of cobbling together a little football league that could have been really cool if in like an alternate universe where cool teams that weren't in the NFL got together. I just, whenever stuff comes back in, I post it. That's about it.
Cool. All right. Well, nice speaking with you. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Really, thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I've been your host for this fine, fine program. I'd like to thank Mr. Paul Miles for joining us today. Hopefully you enjoyed our interview. I've got a couple of great interviews lined up for future shows. Our next show will be on or about Sunday, October 8th. So watch that in 2 weeks. I'm heading off to Chicago for 4 or 5 days for a business trip. So I won't be posting on Instagram for a couple days. But other than that, I want to thank you, the listeners, for hanging around for the entire program. And as always, wishing you many happy returns.